Williams sisters.
I hear the music down in my soul.
Down in my soul.
Is it just me, or are you feeling that power in here? Yeah. And I know it flows virtually because I have gone home and rewatched these things, and it flows through. Amen. Mary Kay, don't go very far. I want her to share another song with you that says, "Hold On to Me." It's a song that's popular right now, and in just a few moments after the song, we're going to jump into week 6 of an 8-week series that is based on a passage that is found in the Gospel of the Beloved Companion, the complete Gospel of Mary Magdalene. This gospel comes from a scroll that has been around since the first century and was translated from the community in France. A few of us had the privilege this past Friday and Saturday of literally being in conversation with Jeanne de Quillan and one of her other members from the community, literally going through the whole gospel. And so I can't tell you how excited I am and how the universe has such a sense of humor, because the part that we've been working on in here, we have not yet gotten to that. So I'll finish the whole series before they explain to me what they think it means. So but that's how spirit works. Spirit says, what does this mean to you? That's the power of scripture. Well, today we're going to be talking about the power and the healing of our soul. And as I said, this song, will, when I share the final story with you, I think this song will bring it all together. Mary Kay Williams, along with our beautiful band, Dave, Richard, Joel, and today Robert.
When the best of me is barely breathing, when I'm not somebody I believe in, you hold on to me. When I miss the light, the night has stolen. When I'm slamming all the doors you opened, you hold on to me. Hold on to me. You hold on to me when it's too dark to see you. When I am sure I have reached the end, you hold on to me when I forget. When I don't feel like I'm worth defending, when I'm tired of all my pretending, you hold on to me. When I start to break in desperation, underneath the weight of expectation, you hold on to me. Rest here in your arms forever, 'cause I know nobody loves me better. You hold on to me. Whoa, you hold on to me. You hold on to me when it's too dark. Rest here in your arms forever, 'cause I know nobody loves me better. You hold on to me. Oh, you hold on to me.
Mary Kay, that was beautiful. And to Kat, to Richard, Dave, Joel, and we're so happy to have Robert with us again today. Thank you so much for the love that you share. So again, we are in week 6 of an 8-week series that is based on a passage found in the Gospel of Mary Magdalene. I won't recant the whole passage. I will when we get to the end. I'll go through the whole thing again. But today in week 6, I want to begin by sharing something yesterday. Jeanne was asked, she shared that she had been asked previously, "Do you believe in God?" To which she replied, "No." Now, I have to give you my thought process as the minister who picked this book and prepared that. When she said, "Do you believe in God?" "No." I thought, "Oh, my God, I have led us all astray." My mom always said I was leading the blind, was the blind leading the blind. So, do you believe in God? She said, "No, I believe in my own direct experience of the divine." Yeah. If I ask myself, do I believe in God? I would say yes. And yes, because of my own direct experience with God, with the divine. Because to ask or to say, do you believe in God? And to give a very quip, well, yes. Is it mere hope in God? To ask, do you believe in God? And to say, well, yes. Is it because of some hand-me-down allegiance to God? To ask, do you believe in God? And to just say, well, yes. Is it a declaration of faith? And it's not that any of those things are not okay. I think they're all great, possibly. But they're all like tingling cymbals. An empty noise without the real presence of love, without the real presence of God. Do I believe in God? Yes, because I believe in, I know my direct experience of love, of the divine, what you may call God. That is the essence of, I believe, life. You know, I've thought about In the book of Genesis, the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Evil, in the Garden of Eden. That was a Freudian slip, right? Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Yeah. And then it got all turned into evil. And I totally forgot my point here. Okay. So Adam and Eve. And then we have the temptation, and we have the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But listen to this. There's the tree of knowledge. But as the story goes, the myth, they're cast out of Eden. Because what is knowledge of anything without experience of that thing? And so what ensues is the journey of what we would call Adam-Eve consciousness, the separate individual. The individual with the severed sense of belonging. Hear that again. The individual with the severed sense of belonging to Christ consciousness. This is not Jesus consciousness. This is Christ consciousness. It is what Jesus and many other bodhisattvas walked this earth and carried within them. It is what they reflected and pointed back to us and said, you too are that. Know thyself to be one with all that is. And that is the journey, I believe, of this life, is to come into personal experience, the holy divine marriage, the sacred union of the self and source as one. Last week, I used the imagery. And you know, symbols and images and words can only take us to the point of pointing to something. And so don't ever let the word or the image hold you up. Just try to seek, what is it pointing you to? So I use the image of the iceberg. One may look upon the ocean and see the iceberg that is huge, if you've ever seen one, and think that the iceberg is that surface appearance. But if you understand the nature of an iceberg, there is far, far, far more below the surface. And if you really understand the nature of the iceberg, it is one and same in essence as the ocean. And that is as we are. We are the surface. We are much more beyond the surface, and we belong to the ocean. Today we venture into week 6 to talk about the soul. I believe it is the soul that carries that seamless connection, that knows yourself as the individual, that knows yourself as the original expression and the ocean, the all that is, that realizes that one is not better than the other. They are simply different forms of expression, all coming and a part of the same. And so, as we explore the depths of our own being, we've been using this book, this imagery. And so we've been exploring what are described as a tree. And again, it's just an image to convey a teaching. But a tree that has 8 boughs, 8 branches. Each of these branches convey fruit. The first 4 branches convey fruit that are considered couplets of formation, that as we assimilate and become this fruit, the final 8 are the couplets of being. This is how we begin to show up. And so we've talked about love and compassion. We talked about wisdom and understanding. We talked about honor and humility, and we talked about duplicity and arrogance as opposed to, well, we talked about love and compassion and how that relates to judgment and wrath. We talked about wisdom and understanding and how that relates to ignorance and intolerance. We talked about honor and humility and how that relates to duplicity and arrogance. We talked about courage and strength and how that related to the weakness of our flesh and the illusion of our fears. And then last week, if we're looking at 8 of these, last week on week 5, it said, "Only then, my master told me, when you have rejected the deceiver." Now, the deceiver is the ego mind. The ego, the deceiver is often, whether it's Mara in Buddhism, whether it's the devil in Christianity, sometimes it's seen as an outside force. But what it really is it's born of the dark side of our own nature. What we call good and evil are conditions of how we use the one power. And so when we look at this, it says, only when you have rejected the deceiver, only when you've rejected being identified as only your form, can you pass through the hardest gate of all to attain the 5th bough and the fruit of clarity and truth. Only then will you know the clarity and truth of your own soul and knowing yourself for the first time. Understand that you are a child of the living spirit. And as my soul moved upward, I realized that I could hear the voice of the world no longer. Now, that's really important because it means that something shifts to the background of your being and something steps up to the forefront of your being. As all had become silenced, and so today, then in the light above, I saw the 6th bough, the one that bore the fruit of power and healing. My master told me that when you truly have eaten of the fruit of clarity and truth of yourself, then you could partake of the fruit of power and healing, the power to heal your own soul. Listen to that again, the power to heal your own soul and thereby make it ready to ascend to the 7th bough, where it will be filled with the fruits of light and goodness. Power and healing, the power to heal your own soul. So just hold that for a moment, and now let's lay down some other groundwork, and then I believe it'll bring it all back together. I want to share with you another image, another story. Have any of you read the book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? It may even be in a movie. Is it a movie now, anyway, about Narnia? Well, the storyline of this is there are 4 siblings. There's Peter, Susie, Edmund, and Lucy. 4 siblings who've been sent to the country to escape the air raids of World War II. They're sent to stay in the home of Professor Kirk. He's an eccentric kind of old man with this house that has twists and turns and big wardrobes and things to play in. So one day, the 4 kids are playing in the house, they're playing hide and seek, and Lucy jumps into this wardrobe to hide. And as she does and closes the door and steps backward, without even realizing it almost, she crosses a threshold. And with one foot still in the wardrobe, she now has one foot in Narnia. She has entered into a whole nother reality. And so let us consider for a moment a threshold. You may walk into this door, like Renee, you may have walked into a virtual door. We cross a threshold into a community, perhaps a spiritual community, and find ourselves on a path of spiritual richness, a path of spiritual friendships. We may cross a threshold into a doctor's office and discover a whole new reality of being that shifted our whole world. We may cross a threshold into an artist studio, a dance studio, a paint studio. We may cross a threshold into a hiking trail and discover a passion that we never knew we had that will lead us to discover inner resources we never knew we had. We often cross the same threshold again and again. You cross the threshold of your front door probably every day, sometimes multiple times a day. The question becomes, are you the same person who walks through that threshold on a new day? Or do we use the threshold as an opportunity to be here now and to realize it's a new day, it's a new possibility? How am I being called to walk through this threshold? Well, last week in this series, we walked through a threshold in this symbolic journey, which is the journey of a lifetime. Let's just pause a minute and say, wouldn't we all love it if you could just be enlightened like that? Wouldn't you love it if those people that are sandpaper for your soul could be enlightened like that? You know, anybody else got some sandpaper for the soul people that really rub you to do your work? Well, enlightenment for the soul is a sequential unfoldment, just like our physical birth. A baby is not born and jump out of there and say, woohoo, let's go do some work. It has to develop sequentially, and this builds upon this, which builds upon this, which builds upon this. It's an integration. The soul is the part of us that is responsible for that integrating, so that just as the human being is born with incredible potential, it has to develop into the realization of its potential. Just as we are spiritual beings are born with the potential of the God of our being, we have to grow in the consciousness of it. We have to literally grow in the embodiment of it. And it's a process when that happens. But there comes a time in your life when you at least have one foot in the wardrobe and one foot in Narnia. You have one foot in the world and one foot in spirit. You have pierced the veil. You know who you are. You have tasted the sweetness of your own spirit. You know who you are. You see, it's like the young man who discovered the Buddhist path. He had just been so distraught and had started practicing meditating and really had turned within, was reading Ken Wilber and learning all sorts about stuff about himself and learning to hold himself accountable, and he was growing by leaps and bounds. He was married and had two young children, and he said, you know, if I could just go and study in a Buddhist community for a few weeks, I just know I could reach enlightenment. And so he and his wife, they worked, and it took him about 18 months. And that whole time, he was on the path. He was diligent. He was doing his cushion time, as we call it at home. But he finally got 9 whole weeks. Take that in. 9 whole weeks to go and study whatever your heart was longing for. He got it. He went. And as the weeks began to unfold, he began to unfold, and he began to realize such peace, and he pierced that veil, and he saw himself, and he just, everybody was beautiful, and there was bliss. And he thought, is this it? Is this enlightenment? I can feel it. I can taste it. I feel lighter. It's beautiful. 9 weeks in, and he heads back home. It happened to be 2 days before Thanksgiving. He was able to stay in that. He was so present to his children and his wife. And then Thanksgiving, he went to the in-laws' house. He found himself completely in the wardrobe. No longer in Narnia. He would write, "There are enlightened moments for me now, and there are moments of enlightenment." Can you relate? But let me tell you, people, when you pierce the veil, when you've seen it, when you've tasted it, when you've known it as a possibility, when it gets a hold of you, when it becomes what you live for, you no longer live to survive. That's what the mystics mean when they say you die before you die. I'm not trying to live in survival mode anymore. I'm not living in the mode of my ego mind anymore. I am here for a higher purpose. I am on my soul's path, and I want to be enlightened. There's a desire for that. Can you relate to that? Well, when that happens, one of the most important things to know, my friends, is that you will have moments of enlightenment and hold on to them and cherish them and know them and know that it's your truth. And there are many things you can do to cultivate it, to hold it, but you will also have some moments of unenlightenment. The difference becomes, how quickly can you wake up, and what will you do when you realize? Will you continue to make them the matter with you? When you continue to find reasons to stay so busy that we're busy and focused out here? Or can we realize when we've crossed that threshold? Jen shared an illustration yesterday about something else, but it just really stuck with me for this point. She said a pilot, an airline pilot, will typically never say, "I am lost." But there's a saying that they have, if they're off course and if they're lost, they say, "I am temporarily unsure of position." I thought about that last night, and I like acronyms, and I got T-U-O-P, and I thought, you know what, it was never supposed to be oops, it was supposed to be toop. I am temporarily unsure of position. T-U-O-P, toop. Would you say it with me? Toop. Now, toot is a bad thing. Toop is a horrible thing. Temporarily unsure of position. I shouldn't say it's a horrible thing. It's a pivotal thing. It's when we know. It's when you were in that enlightenment. I got up. I did my meditation. Man, I had an experience. I could feel it. I'm loving everybody. And then little by little, things begin to grate down my day. By 6 o'clock, I'm tired and I'm in the grocery store and I've got 3 items and I'm in that line that says 10 or less. How many items do you think the person in front of me has? 17, because I counted. I have to say, toop, I'm temporarily unsure of my position here. Now, I also don't believe that enlightenment means everybody's just all nice. There's a difference in kind and nice. Love is fierce, my friend. Something begins to happen to you when you wake up. We have enlightened moments and we have unenlightened moments, but the power of the soul, the purpose of the soul, the power and the healing take place in the soul, I believe. You see, as an individual being, many cultures, from the Egyptian culture, the one I've studied is the Egyptian. For example, the Egyptian word for soul is ba, B-A. But many different traditions, there are 5 aspects to our being. There's the body, there's the mind, there's the heart, there's the soul, there's the spirit. Now listen to this a minute. There's the body, mind, 2. There's the soul and spirit, and in between that, the heart. The heart is the connector. How many chakras do we have? 7. 3 above and 3 below. What is the 4th, the connecting chakra? The heart. All right, so we're a being of body, of mind, of heart, of soul, of spirit. Body, mind, it's pretty obvious. It's who you are. It's your capability. But it's also the dimension of us that is intimately connected with the ego self. That's where we get in that battle, so to speak, of who's going to be the boss here. So there's the body, mind, And then there is the heart. The heart is the great integrator. The heart is the great communicator. If you have a person, I went to Italy. I speak very, I can say pizza. I can say very little in Italian. But you know what? When I was in Italy, I communicated with some people because we laughed. We pointed. You know, it's the heart. The heart is a universal language of expression. The heart is also, if you have an Italian and a German who need to communicate, you must have an interpreter. You must have someone that can understand this and understand this and connect the meaning. My friends, that is your heart. That's what the heart is designed to do. And we'll come back to the soul. And then, of course, the spirit is, of us is the animating essence of all of life. So then the soul, what is the soul? The soul is, I believe, the seat of our originality, our individuality. Nature only makes originals. I'll never forget that. Nature only deals in original. If nature did not need you, Brian, as an original, just as you are, then nature would have made Billy instead, whatever. You are, your individuality, your originality is part of your soul. And your soul, it's like the tip of the iceberg, your soul also knows the interconnectedness to all of life. Your soul carries both of those. Your soul is the repository of all personal experience, all your personal experience, every single bit of it. Your soul carries the imprint of cause and effect. It carries the energy of every occurrence. Therefore, in most traditions, the soul is considered the seat of karma. Soul goes by many names. It's Ba in Egypt. It's Daimon in Greek. It's Atman in India. It's Mana in Polynesian. It's Genius in Roman. Soul bridges the space between spirit and matter. Soul is your seamless connection between heaven and earth. Soul grounds your spirit, and soul animates your body. Soul carries every action. Many people believe in reincarnation. There are examples I won't go into today. I'll give you a quick one. The disciples were walking with Jesus in the gospel. This is not in the gospel of Mary Magdalene. This is in the canonical Matthew, Mark, Luke, John gospels. Disciples are walking with Jesus. They see a man who's blind, and they said, Yeshua, Jesus, why is he blind? Is it because of the sins of his parents, or did he sin? Why would that man be blind if it were not for the sins of his parents unless it's karma? Jesus said, you're asking the wrong question. This is the man's path. It is so that the spirit can be revealed in that man's life. So whatever you believe about that, to me, doesn't really matter. What becomes important is the soul is the part of us that if we are our own cause and effect in certain, in every way of our actions, it doesn't just go away. And I'll give you an example. Richard, would you give me that song? When I was living and working in Hawaii, I had gone to a chiropractor's office one day, and it was a kind of chiropractor that they work on several people at one time, subtle touch, and it really moved, adjust your energy. And this was a masterful person. And so when I was walking out of there, I was just in this real open state, feeling very balanced. I'm walking to my car, and just at that moment, I look up, and a man had stepped out of his car, and there's a chicken. Now, if you've ever been to Hawaii, every island, chicken and roosters just are all over the place. It's a glorious thing when the sun comes up. There's cock-a-doodle-doo going on all over the place. But chickens are just all over. And so I walk out, and I'm in this state, and I look back in the parking lot, and a man got out, and he kind of stepped out of his way, and he pulled back, and he kicked a chicken. And the chicken just squawked, and the man laughed, and he went on. I literally went down and cried. It hurt me so bad. Memory hurts. It's like Jarvis. I don't remember his last name. San Quentin prison, murderer, years of working on himself, their time of being out in the yard, another prisoner started to throw a rock at a bird. Jarvis said, don't. You don't do that on the prison yard. You don't interrupt one another. But the man dropped the rock and stopped. It startled him. And Jarvis said, "That bird has my wings. Can you feel it?" Well, you see, the man that just kicked the chicken, I don't know if he had a bad day. I don't know if he didn't like chickens. I don't know if he was a vegetarian and wanted to get rid of all the meat. I don't know if he'd been awakened by a rooster and thought I don't know. But the imprint of that occurrence is carried in the soul. My friend, we carry the imprint of every thought, every action, every word, every occurrence in our soul. And your soul is that beautiful place of you that it doesn't hang out in judgment. The soul, we're responsible for our own reality. So where are our actions to go if not within our own being? How are your actions to be resolved if not within your own being? The soul of you carries all those memories, the heaviness. The soul also carries the light of spirit as a beautiful counterbalance. There is nothing so big to cause the soul to be so heavy that it cannot shine. Final true story. September 25th, 2000, Kevin Hines was 19 years old. He was struggling. His soul hurt. He jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge because he wanted to end his life. The minute he went over, he regretted it. Inside, he said, "No." He fell 220 feet, roughly the height of a 25-story building, in 4 seconds. Praying on the way down, because as soon as he went down, he realized it was the biggest mistake of his life. He hit the water going 75 miles an hour and was sucked under 70 feet. He had asthma. The water was cold. He fractured a lower vertebrae. His legs wouldn't work. He finally popped up to the surface, but his arms weren't working. A woman had seen him jump, and she immediately called 911. There he was, going under, doing everything he could to bobble up, and he began to feel what he thought was a shark now around his legs, and he thought, "Surely I am going to die." But what that woman and other people witnessed was a sea lion. He fought until he really couldn't move. 1 minute, 2 minute, 5 minute, 10 minute, 12 minutes. It took 12 minutes before they showed up. The EMS arrived. But a sea lion was under him, continually bringing him up to the surface. The sea lion stayed with him and brought him up, and the man lived. Today, Kevin is a mental health advisor. He's an author. He speaks. His name is Kevin Hines. As that young man was healing and making peace with that and realizing, "There's something in this universe that holds me. Perhaps I have a soul. Perhaps I have a purpose. Perhaps I can be okay." His father took him back to that very place and said, "Son, you need to make peace with this." And he got a flower and he went back to the place and he said, let's face it. Let's make peace with it and toss the flower in. There he was with his dad, and Kevin said a few things. And again, this is like 18, 24 months later. Kevin tosses a flower in, and a sea lion picks it up and waves. That's a true story, my friend. Yeah. Mary Kay, would you please come sing the chorus of that song again? Have you felt temporarily unsure of your position lately? Have you looked at another and said, "Lord knows, honey, I'm temporarily unsure of your position." Or actually, I'm pretty sure of your position. You're in the wardrobe. you are lost. You are lost. Hold on to me, Mary Kay. Would you sing that again?
You hold on to me. it's too dark to see you, when I am sure I have reached the end, you hold on to me when I forget I need you. When I let go, you hold.
Hold it right there a minute as you'd close your eyes and turn within. You hold on to me and I hold on to you. The eye that looks to see is the beholder of all that is. For what is it behind thine eye? It is presence. The presence that you are seeking is the very energy you are using to be the seeker. Step through the illusion. Recognize the threshold. Stand guardian at the threshold of your own mind. The nature of the mind, the nature of the body, is to be here now. But oh, my beloved, so often you are not here. You could easily hang a vacant sign because you walk around and your thoughts are elsewhere. You bump your elbow, you scrape your knee, and you take a shower and you say, how did that happen? You don't even remember. There is a part of you that is so homesick to come back, to come back, to settle in. Settle into your bones, settle into your breath, settle into your being. Settle your mind and gain dominion over your mind. You were born with this awareness. It is the capacity right now to direct the awareness to the words that you hear or to the grocery list you may be making or thinking. It is that part of you which can direct your awareness unbeknownst to anyone outside of you. It is the silent witness within that is always directing except for when it's on rerun. It's time for the reruns to be done. It's time for the ruts to become fresh ground. It's time for the thresholds, even the ones that you would walk through day after day after day. It is time for the threshold to become a door of new beginning, a door of possibility, a time of remembering that, yes, I may have temporarily lost sight of who I am, but that is the depth that it can go because I can never lose my true nature. I can never lose my connection. I can never lose the power, the beauty, the force, the essence of my soul, but I can surely lose sight of it. You hold on to me, and I hold on to you. You call me, and I say yes. You lead me, and I say yes.
It's too dark to see you when I am sure I have reached the end. You hold on to me when I forget I need you. When I let go, you hold me.
I invite you to gently open your eyes and to stand up. Keep on that one, I'm sorry. And to turn around to your left and to do a full circle. full circle. And when you arrive back, say, toop, toop. I was temporarily unsure of position. Say it with me like you mean it. Toop, temporarily unsure of position. Back around. Go to sweet surrender. Now I am opening up in sweet surrender to the luminous love light of the One. I am opening up in sweet surrender to the luminous love light of seated. That was a journey. Did you go on a journey? Yeah. Wow. Thank you for doing this work, for your willingness to do the work. And I mean to do the work. It is truly work. I want to thank you for your presence, for your steadfastness. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for your support. You know, sometimes we forget that heaven and earth work together, that spirit and matter work together, that to keep this opportunity requires that we invest in physical ways. We invest our time, we invest our talent, we invest our tithes, because that's the way to be in right relationship. And so I want to take the opportunity to thank you for acknowledging that, for your financial support, for those of you who pull weeds, for those of you that work on those things. It just means everything. So thank you for creating this opportunity together. All of us are going to wave to our live streamers and say, and that includes you. Toop. That includes you. It includes you too. We have gained, and it is a beautiful thing. We're working on the technology to be able to have classes locally and be able to see people on screen that are joining us virtually, doing things such as that. So I want to thank you and thank Donna and Acela and Tia, our team back here, our musicians, our youth workers, Gabby and Reverend Barbara Ann. Would you give all these people behind the scenes a big hand? Yeah. So we will get some tissues, because if nobody else needs them, I clearly do. And we have some blue boxes out in the area. If you want to leave a physical love offering here, please do so. You can also use the opportunities online. Most people have been doing that virtually. We want to thank you for that. I want to let you know that after the service, if you want to head out through these doors, we're starting our after-service fellowship again. There's some little chocolate treats, I believe, if anybody is enticed by the goddess chocolate and the devil sugar. If you're enticed, make your way out or pray for those who do get have some. And just go out and fellowship and enjoy. For those of you that are joining online, you have the opportunity to join in a Zoom room. We're going to continue that through this series and then pause a little bit for the summer. But we want to thank you for those of you that are joining us from other states. So again, I want to thank you for your presence. I want to invite Kat back up. They have a closing song. We're so thankful to have them in our band, and we're so thankful to have you here. I didn't think it could be until it happened to me by the one and only Andre Crouch, performed by Cat Williams and our Unity Band.
And you.